Hey, what's going on, Northwest Arkansas? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of So NWA. It's your co-host here, Juan Carlos, and we got the unofficial, official Taco Bell ambassador, my co-host, Enrique.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to another episode of So NWA. What a funny way to start that, dude. That's so funny.
It's been a while since we recorded.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I've been thinking about that, and I was like, dude, you know, I want to make it... make it welcoming, you know what I mean? And
well, that's a good way to do it because I really do love Taco Bell. It's you do. If I want fast food, I'll go to Taco Bell.
So. You know, when he has $5, he doesn't get the biggie bag when at Wendy's. He doesn't get the McValue at McDonald's. He goes to Taco Bell and gets that Baja Blast.
Dude, yeah, I get that $5 box, dude. There you go, that's bro. So funny.
Look, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of So NWA. That's funny. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest with us today, Laura Ruoff with Hips and Clips Women's Self-Defense. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
Hey, that's like you said, the beauty of editing, right?
You brought me to say it.
That's okay.
There's no worries. We got Laura here, Hips and Clips, the owner of Women's Self-Defense. I'm curious, we talked about this even before we started recording, but I really just want to know your backstory, right? Like how'd you get so involved with self-defense, with guns and gun ownership, you know, Second Amendment, right? Mm-hmm. I know that can be a little bit of a touchy subject, mm-hmm. So I kind of want to get your thoughts and opinion on that. How'd you get started in this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the beginning is during COVID, my dad had retired and he bought his first gun and decided that would be one of his new hobbies in life, is learning how to shoot and stuff like that. And he really fell in love with it. And he and I are very alike. So basically anything he likes, I'll like, and vice versa. So he said, hey, you know what? This is really cool. You should get a gun too and learn how to do this. And I said, all right. So I got a gun and then I didn't know what to do with it. So guess what? It ended up in the top of the closet. Like most people have the gun and they put it in the top shelf of the closet. You don't know how to use it, what to do with it. So then we moved and I'm unpacking into the new house, into the new closet. And I unpacked the gun and I said to my husband, what do we do with this? Does it go back on the top shelf or do we get rid of it? Do we learn how to use it? What do we do? And my husband, he's super easygoing. He said, I don't care, whatever you want to do with it, it's fine with me. And I said, well, there was an interest there in the first place. I got it and I've kept it. And so I did a Google search and I found myself a local instructor here in Northwest Arkansas. Signed up, took a lesson, had an absolute blast, fell in love with it at the first trigger pull. And from there, I wanted to know all I could about it. It's not just firearms. There's so many other things that fall into that category. You have self-defense, other forms of physical self-defense or tactical self-defense. Then that spurs to, okay, well, how do you avoid needing any of these things in the first place? Situational awareness training. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of spurs, well, there's some interesting medical training you can learn that fall into that category, or home defense setup, how to set up your home. So all these things kind of just started stacking up and it became a bit of an obsession.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. That's good. That's good to know. I'm curious. You bought that gun and you just stayed on the top of the closet.
Yeah.
What gun was it?
Oh, so my first gun, it's a Ruger Wrangler revolver. It's a .22 caliber.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Six shot.
Yeah.
It's my silver fox. It's silver. I name all my things. Yes, everything I own has a name. So all the guns, my cars, you know, stuff like that.
That's funny.
And yeah, and you know what? He didn't get shot much anymore nowadays, but he was a great gun to learn on because he was so easy and very, it was like the guns you go and shoot at the fair to win a stuffed animal. Like just very,
I see.
Not intimidating at all to learn.
Yeah, that's what I like about those single shot revolvers. Yeah. You have to take your time with them and it really teaches you to be careful with the weapon.
Yeah, like you said, to take your time.
Yeah.
There's never a rush.
No, yeah, never, especially with weapons, right? You have to be extra careful.
That's correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Laura, I'm just curious, do you concealed carry classes?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm trained and certified to.
Okay.
I'm not terribly interested
okay.
in teaching that. I like more of the new shooter introductions.
Okay.
and working with new shooters and finding out what their goals are. Now, if their goals are to take a concealed carry class and start carrying, then I have friends that I work with who are my fellow instructor friends that I refer them to who do those classes all the time, like doing those classes all the time, really enjoy doing that. So I like to collaborate with others, you know, on their strengths.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Enrique, do you have your concealed carry?
I don't know, but please correct me if I'm wrong, but I was doing some research with when it came to, because I just bought a firearm, right? And I was curious to know the laws around that. I didn't want to take it with me and like break the law by mistake, you know? And I believe, based on my research, that I think Arkansas is one of those states where concealed carry, you don't necessarily require a license, but they still let you get it if you want it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's correct.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, you can definitely carry here without a permit. I like the idea, I guess, whatever you decide to do, just make sure you're educated and you understand the laws. Take a class. And just learn all of that. So like you said, that you don't accidentally make a mistake that ends up costing you just because you didn't know.
Yeah.
I got my concealed carry permit, it's personal. Everyone has whether they want to open carry or concealed carry. I got mine because I like the idea of being able to conceal. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options as far as concealment go, and I like that flexibility. But also the class is, you know, you're there pretty much the whole day and you're learning all the laws. You're learning what's okay, what's not. And I really enjoyed that knowledge. It helps me to be a more responsible gun owner.
I think that's important too, you know, definitely, being more familiar with the laws, especially regarding the Second Amendment, right, that we have here in the United States. So I'm going to look into doing that. I was just curious because I really don't want to get into trouble, you know, walking around with it or having it in my truck or something.
Yeah,
I have mine. And actually, it's really informative. I highly recommend it, even though you don't need it to purchase or anything. I think just educating yourself really just opens up that mindset. I personally didn't really know much about firearms. I, you know, never owned one, but I got it before I got the license before I purchased my gun. So, yeah,
that's probably a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked online because I had went shooting with my buddies about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a really fun time, really fun time. And then he had a little 22 revolver and I was like, man, I got to buy one. So I literally just bought one online like 2-3 days later.
Uh-huh.
And I went and I filled out the paperwork that, you know, Bass Pro makes you do. And then I was thinking, are they not going to ask me for like a license or something? I was kind of had it in the back of my mind.
Right.
They just gave me the weapon. I was like, oh, well.
All right. Well, see you later. Yeah. Bye.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Much,
yeah. 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 No, that's the beauty of the state. Mm-hmm. One of the beauties of the state. Yeah.
I agree.
That's freedom.
That is, right? Man, but we just jumped into, you know, kind of what we call like the main discussion of this podcast. And I think we're going to continue with that and really just get to know more about Laura and how she got, how she discovered Northwest Arkansas. But so if you're not from here, Laura, if you're not originally from Northwest Arkansas, how or when did you come discover or move to Northwest Arkansas?
Yeah, we came here about 3 years ago with my husband's job. My husband works for Walmart and he has for many years.
Ooh, cool.
And over the years, we've moved around, you know, for different positions and climbing the ladder. And then we had the opportunity to come here. This was the end goal. We'd been here before to visit. We knew we liked it. And we kind of like moving around a lot earlier in our marriage was fine. It was fun. It was an adventure. Now that we have our son and he's getting into school and stuff, we wanted to settle down and put roots down somewhere. And so the goal was to end up here knowing that with Walmart, we wouldn't have to keep moving around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when the opportunity came up, we jumped on it. And we just absolutely, it was a good move for us. It was a very good move for us.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Where else did you live?
We came from Texas. Okay. That was probably our longest spot, but we moved all throughout Texas. We were in North Texas down to, you know, Central Texas and everywhere in between that area. Anywhere from Denton to Austin and in between was our last stop, just south of Dallas.
Cool. Walmart definitely got you guys over here.
Yeah.
Now, this is home now.
This is absolutely home.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. How old are your kids, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I have a boy who's 11.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. And how's he enjoying this area, right? So if he, I'd imagine all those years traveling and moving around, mm-hmm. now that you guys have decided to make North Arkansas your home, mm-hmm. how does he like it? What does he like about this area?
He likes it a lot too. Okay. I think with the previous moves in his life, he was still pretty young. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it really affected him like it would say now if we were moving around a lot.
Okay.
He likes it. He's the transition. I think I was most worried about him just reacclimating. You know, we moved here. He was in second grade at the time. So as a parent, you always have those worries. Hope he makes friends. I hope he's not lonely on the first day, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And people were so nice here and at the school and the other kids at the school. People were super welcoming. And he was basically had friends on the very first day of school.
I like that. That's awesome.
He's been building his little crew since then. And it's nice to see. That's what you want to see, you know?
Hey, my mom does hips and clips. tell your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, there you go.
No, seriously, yeah.
He could be my little ambassador.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, sorry.
Flip them some business cards, you know?
Yeah. Hey, my mom does this. I think that's cool. I personally think that's cool, you know? So that's awesome. Growing up, I don't think I knew many women who, you might be one of the first that I know that actually does it to this extent, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. Yeah. So
yeah. I would say the same thing. I don't think I've met. I feel like this realm of weapons and guns, it's very male dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing a female in this mm-hmm. space is always, at least to me, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, very. Yeah, thank you. No, it's cool. Mm-hmm.
So since we're kind of talking about hips and clips, you know, your son, he could be your ambassador, right?
Yeah.
Potentially.
Uh-huh.
You're the owner of this company. What do you enjoy the most in your role on your day-to-day task or even just in general? What do you enjoy mm-hmm. the most about what you do?
I love letting women see that they can. Because
like that.
That's cool.
Thanks. But it's true. I've met a lot of women who are either very scared of the idea, you know, someone put the wrong size, too big a caliber in their hand to start with, and it scared them. 99% of the time, unfortunately, that's the story. And it scared them to death, and they never want to do it again. But some of them still have that interest. They want to learn. They want to empower themselves. They want to know how to protect themselves. Because a lot of women say, oh, well, that's okay. My husband will take care of me. Yeah, he will. But when he's not with you or you're out and about with the kids by yourself, who's going to take care of you? So a lot of women have that in the back of their mind and they want that control and that education. I like being able to provide that to them and that confidence. When I work with a new shooter, maybe someone who has shot before, maybe someone who hasn't. But they leave our lesson a different person. And I love watching that switch flip in their eyes. Mm. When they pull that trigger and that you see that confidence kick in, it's like, if you know.
Oh, man, that's your bread and
that
butter.
That feeling is like so awesome. And I'm so happy for them. And so I like being able, I feel honored just to witness that.
Mm. Wow, that's cool. That is cool. Mm. I think I know exactly what you mean.
Empowering mm-hmm. women, I think, is in my opinion, very, very important. Like mm-hmm. my fiance, right? We've been talking about it, especially now that I bought this little revolver that I have. She's like, man, you know, I've been wanting to have my own gun in my car, and just in case, you know, something were to go wrong, if mm-hmm. you're not around or if mm-hmm. I'm by myself, or because she'll go out and she'll run errands on her own, right? So mm-hmm. like, she's always has that in the back of her mind.
And really, too, you can start as small as carrying pepper spray. You know, you can get comfortable with that. The laws are obviously way more lenient on that. The training is much simpler, but it's something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's definitely, I think every woman should have pepper spray that's not down in the bottom of their purse lost. That is on their person mm-hmm. every single day. That's your everyday carry, is that clip-on pepper spray.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
There you go. So that'd be like non-negotiable. You got to have your pepper
spray. You know what? If any woman I come across, if I can put a pepper spray in their hands, I buy it in bulk so I can just give it to people because
there you go. Dude, that's awesome.
That's how important it is. Because think about it. You don't need to make contact with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get thrown in jail for using pepper spray on somebody. Mm-hmm. What if you're out for a walk and you get approached by a angry animal or something, or a dog or whatever, that's, you know, it's just nice to have.
Man, that's a very good perspective. I didn't even think about that. If you got approached by a wolf or a big angry dog mm-hmm. or something, and you're like, man, what do I do?
I remember one time I was meeting up with some guy on Facebook, and it was like a really sketchy, one of those sketchy apartments. Uh-huh. And he was buying, I think, a computer component that I was mm-hmm. selling. And I just felt so uneasy. And so I had pepper spray.
Good for you.
Well, I thought I had pepper spray.
Oh, you did?
So okay. The guy comes and he's acting real weird and whatever. He gives me the money and then he leaves. And I'm driving off. And so I pull out my pepper spray and I park to see it, right? Mm-hmm. Come to find out it was empty. There was nothing in there.
Like an empty, like...
It was an empty container.
Well, with pepper spray. That couldn't deter him. He doesn't know it's empty.
Yeah, right? But I just laugh at that now because, like, man, well, I kind of wish I would have looked at it before bringing it, but...
Right,
that's
right.
Hindsight's 2020, so...
Yeah, for sure. True.
Learning moment.
Yeah, it just makes me laugh.
And I think everyone should carry pepper spray, guys, too. Once again, the least amount of contact you can make to deter and just get out of a situation, the better.
I love it. That's definitely educational for sure for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. What going back to this area, right? You guys moved here from Texas.
Yep.
What is one of your earliest memories of this area when you guys moved here?
My first memory here is when we had come to visit. My husband was on a project here for about 3 weeks. This was when my son was about 3, and so for that middle week, my son and I came up and visited and stayed the week with him at his hotel. And it was so fun because during the day we would go out and play tourist. Now, we didn't know we were moving here yet, but it was our first time to see the area and we really liked it a lot. And so we went to the Bentonville Library story time. I took him to, we used to love story time when he was a little boy. And then we went to the Native American Museum in Bentonville. We went to the Bentonville Square and went to the Five and Dime, the Sam Walton Museum. And we just kind of explored and had fun. And my memory is just how much there is to do here. Mm-hmm. You can never run out of things to do here, whether you're doing indoor things or outdoor activities. I was just totally blown away that you're always going to have something to do here and all the cool places to eat. You have so much variety of food and restaurants. I was just like, wow, this is really nice. You know,
that's something common that we've heard from previous guests and even people that we meet from day to day. They say that the restaurant here, the food culture in our area is actually very high, and it's actually to them pleasantly surprising.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was your experience while you were here. Did you have like a preconceived notion of Northwest Arkansas before you saw it? I'm kind of curious to know what your idea was prior to getting here.
Well, my husband had told me that it was really nice because he had been here traveling for work. And he said how pretty it was and how he had the opportunity to come in the fall a couple times. And fall's my favorite season. So he's like, you have to try to find a time. I hope I get sent back out during the fall so you can maybe come with me. And that did not disappoint. That's for sure. He had already put this thought in my head that it was, I would like it. He knew I would like it here. And he was right.
Well, that's good. Yeah. The natural state is what we're calling, right? And so fall time for me, I also really love fall.
Yeah.
It's really gorgeous out here.
It is something else.
Yeah.
Summers and falls here are something else.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, a good float trip, a good backyard barbecue. Mm-hmm. Man, that's good. That's a good time.
I agree. Laura, is there anything new coming to your business this year compared to last year? Anything that you can share, or is there still something in the works that you can't give all the details on just yet?
Yeah, this is going to be a really good year, and I'm really excited about it.
Okay, there you go.
So last year, I'd say January 2024, I LLC'd Hips and Clips. And decided that it was going to move more from like a group of friends just getting together and learning about all this and going to shoot together to furthering our education in different topics and categories like we had talked about before, not just firearms.
Yeah.
And then deciding from there, you know what? I realized, so I would always just be, as my confidence and skill and competence grew, I would always be taking friends to the range who wanted to show, oh, wow, you do that? Will you show me how to, kind of thing? And they feel comfortable having another female. It's like, friends, here, take me by hand. I'll show you how to do this. You know, you're not self-conscious. There's no pressure. It's just two friends having fun together. And then I realized through that process how much I like to teach. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, this was last year, I decided to become a range safety officer because I was very interested in how the range functions. And I wanted to make sure that I knew all the rules and that I knew all the safety to follow so that not only for myself, but for my students, my friends that I was bringing to the range, then I can pass that along to them. So once again, you're making sure that every person that you bring into the range with you
comes in with the right education from the start. And so there's that. And then later in the year, I had gotten certified to become through USCCA to become a firearms instructor. And that's kind of when everything kind of changed. And I was like, okay, this is a business now. And then I kind of last year, I was trying to test out different topics that women want to learn about, whether it was medical training or if they just want to get together for like a group cup of coffee and talk about whatever it is that's on our minds or what we might want to learn about next, and just tried out different things and put some feelers out to see what people were interested in participating in. So now I got my certification to teach physical self-defense, because I think that's kind of hard to find around here. I mean, you can take different types of training, but for a women's physical self-defense class, I want to be able to offer that very easily to people. And that was a lot of fun. And so what I'm finding is that women are more interested in learning about the physical self-defense, and then a close second would be learning how to shoot. And so with my research, being able to see what are people's priorities and how can I do that in-house and offer that to people. And so what's funny, I want to tell you really quick, when I took my test for the self-defense instructor, I had this 475 page book. I had to study, then I had to watch these videos, and then I tested out. Test is 170 questions.
Oh, wow.
It took me a couple of days to finish, right? I hit submit and my computer froze up about 75% of the way of submitting it. And I'm sitting there, it's like Friday night, it's late. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happened? And so I let it sit there for a minute. So I just don't touch it. Don't touch anything. I hit refresh and it took me back to question 63. And so I texted my instructor. I was in a panic. I said, hey, can you check on your end if like it submitted all the way? And he's like, it didn't. So he was so kind though. He emailed me that night a hard copy, because I'm like, I just want to get this done, especially now. And so I just stayed up late and did it. Hard copy, took a picture, sent it to him, and he's like, you're good, you got 100%. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, after all that. But it's just one of those things, you just have to laugh. You have no control over those things. And it's just like, oh my gosh.
I bet you that 100% was pretty refreshing.
I tell you what, it felt really good.
Man, I'm definitely a C's get degrees guy. So as long as I pass, I could care less.
I think it's depending on how urgent the need is, right?
That reminds me, like when I took the real estate test, I took it about five times.
Five times?
I think that's a really hard test.
It's pretty tough.
It's a lot more technical than you're led to believe, I feel.
It's funny because that exam, right? Oftentimes, a lot of it is just stuff that you need to know for the exam. It's not stuff you're going to use in your day-to-day business. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes, you have to memorize certain numbers, certain phrases and certain laws, right? And that can get a little bit like brain fog, if you will, and it's literally just for the exam
and certain words too. But you know, Laura, what does a typical day look like for you when you're doing this?
Typical day, well, I'm a stay-at-home parent, or what you call a homemaker, so my role at home, just making sure everything's in order there first. I'll start with some admin stuff and just take care of emails and getting back to students. And for example, this week's looked like I have a few classes coming up that are both physical defense and shooting fundamentals. So preparing, making sure that all of my supplies and my hearing protection, everything's ready to go for my class, cleaning everything. And then for the self-defense, I like to try to curate the training to what the needs are of my students. So I'm going to show you a lot of general stuff, but also if there's a particular thing or topic that the women want to learn about, I try to create a curriculum or a lesson plan that will check all those boxes for them.
What would you say is the most common thing that a woman is looking to learn when it comes to self-defense? Is it mainly more of the physical side or the use of a weapon topic?
Probably the physical side. They just want some tools in their tool belt, some knowledge. There's always the scenarios, the what ifs. And so being able to have a few moves.
Yeah.
I think when you go to a self-defense class, there's a lot of information dumped on you. And so It's really hard. I mean, I know I've walked out of plenty of classes going, okay, I may maybe remember three things. It was all good stuff and it all made sense at the time, but walking out, I might remember three things. And so that's kind of what I try to always have my students try at the beginning of class. I say, I want, at, you know, after class, like throughout the class, if something stands out to you that's easy for you to remember, hang on to that. So at the end of class, we're going to go over, okay, what do I remember from today? And then let's just focus on getting really good at that, so that you can kind of build that into your routine and your muscle memory. And that's something that you can work on to become natural to you, so that in, God forbid, an event where you might need to kick that into gear, you don't have to really think about it.
What kind of stuff do you teach? Like, what do you, is it more of like if somebody comes from behind you? Just an example, right?
Well, the main thing that we like to cover before we get to work on the physical stuff is just situational awareness practice. Because being able to avoid things in the first place, being aware of your surroundings, you can avoid so many situations just by being aware of what's going on around you. So we really zero in on that. Then, okay, well, what happens if something goes past that? And you need to, perhaps your next step would be to exit or retreat somehow, if that's change your path or whatever, if that's not an option. I like the pepper spray once again. Yeah. If you don't have to make contact, because once you're making contact, everything changes. And so to be able to avoid that as much as you can, the pepper spray, if you do end up needing to engage, you go full on honey badger, 100%. You have a goal to go home that night. And so that's your mindset, is if I'm doing this, I'm 100% committed and I'm going to be a crazy person and I'm going to get out of this. And so there are so many different areas we cover in the class. We basically go head to toe of all the vulnerable areas where you can strike to help either someone release you or to disarm them so that you can get away. You're not there to finish the fight. You're there to get them to just let go of you or whatever the case is so that you can back, you can get away. So a lot of, we go over any type of tactics if someone is grabbing you or holding you a certain way, different ways to get out of that. And it's a variety of stuff.
That's cool. I like how you put into perspective, like, you got to go all in, like 100%. Because if you don't, then you're at risk.
Correct.
If you lightfoot it, you're not going to win.
Yeah, that's I think a situation like that is 100% fight or flight, right?
And what's great about that is that type of attitude will usually deter the person who is now going, oh, okay, second thoughts about this girl. She's kind of crazy. You know, she's not that easy victim I thought she might be. She's going to fight back. And a lot of times these guys are not really looking for a challenge. They're looking for someone who's going to be scared and who's going to do what they want them to do.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you're involved in this space, because as sad as it is, you know, oftentimes some women, right, are not aware of what to do. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. And I apologize to our audience if it sounded that way, right?
I think it comes down to training and just knowing about it.
Yeah. And it's sad, right? Because I think there was something on the news, and it was in our area. A woman got kidnapped in I think it was a Walmart parking lot.
I remember that story.
Yeah. And something horrible happened to her. And I don't want to say anything that'll trigger the audience, right? But it's just an unfortunate situation. And so I'm glad that you're advocating in that space for someone or for these people who can be a little bit more aware, a little bit more trained, so that way they are able to be safe and get out of harm's way.
And the younger they are when they can start learning about this, the better.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't really talked about when I was growing up. And now I'm training girls who are 10 and up, and it feels really good, because could you imagine the advantage you'd have with that knowledge and education and training when you're so young?
You got so much time to hone your skills and be a real master, you know?
And not get yourself into sketchy situations. Absolutely. That without that awareness, you might accidentally be walking into, or that lack of confidence to say, you know what, this doesn't feel like a good spot for me to be right now. But a lot of times you don't know what to do, so you put yourself there and you're like, okay, this wasn't such a good idea. So to have that training and confidence is early on, you can probably avoid some stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that's actually really, really good. You know, what strategies do you teach to stay calm and focused in stressful situations?
Mm-hmm.
Once again, to train and practice, that builds confidence. That will help control. You'll feel like you have control in a situation that's a very unpleasant one. That will control your stress and your panic and your fear in a situation. So if you're able to just remove yourself from the situation, do that first. If you can't, then it's just very important that you breathe and that you, even if your heart's racing on the inside, your exterior is calm, a neutral posture.
Right.
Your voice is like natural level or a little bit softer. And speaking slower, having your hands not clenched or up, you're just open palms and just show a very neutral presence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's I feel like when you're in those situations, right, it's kind of hard to try and remember, especially if you're not aware of what to do. So that refresher of knowing at least how you can at least remain somewhat composed will be helpful in the long run.
And focused. Yeah.
And listen to your gut. You know, it's not going to ever steer you wrong. It's easy to shove it aside because you're like, no, that's crazy or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But it's so important.
Yeah, trust your gut. I hear that many, many times. Mm-hmm. And that applies to all areas of life. I feel like
it does.
I don't know why, but like your body just knows that something's up. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is.
It's an extra sense that God gave us. And we should definitely tap into that.
I agree. Or like when somebody's like staring at you from behind, you're like, man, is somebody looking at me? Yeah. Like, I don't know how we know. It's just crazy to me that we have that reflex.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. We are pretty amazing creatures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So we talked a little bit about, you know, your business and what you do on a day-to-day. Is there anyone, and you mentioned your husband and your son, is there anyone else you'd like to give a shout-out to? Maybe you have people on the admin side on your team.
Yes, absolutely. Right, my family, my husband's been a fantastic support. He just has always said, you know, hey, with this hips and clips thing, just keep your foot on the gas pedal and just keep it pressed down hard and just see where this takes you. Because none of this was planned out. It was just kind of this ride I got on.
Yeah.
And it's been fantastic. And it keeps developing into something else. And so I don't know where it's going to end up. I didn't know a year ago I'd be teaching self-defense. You know what I mean? And a couple years before that, I had no idea I'd be super into guns. And so it's kind of just neat to see it evolve. I don't know what next year will bring. I can't wait to see what next year brings. Right. But it's been fun. Just support from family and friends and the community, like you guys, like all these connections I'm making with people and how we can work together and help each other out. That's really exciting to me. And then of course we do have to mention our friend Mercy, who got us connected in the first place.
Very true. Shout out Mercy. Hey, she's Mercy. She's also on our team. She's also on the DS team.
That's right.
Fathom Realty. So yeah, we got connected with Laura here through Mercy, and we're very grateful for Mercy on that.
Mercy, thank you so much for doing that. Yes, this has been amazing, very eye-opening and really good information.
I will say too, for our audience, we are going to actually go and go shooting with Laura on this upcoming Monday.
That'll be
fun. So stay tuned on social media. We'll have pictures, videos, all that good stuff for you guys to tune in and get a quick little background look at what we're doing.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, we get to bring our own weapons. And I think.
Can I just say, Laura brought this, and is it cool if I share this?
Of course.
Yeah, so Laura brought this awesome P90 here today, and I held it earlier, and that was so cool. It's such a really, really fascinating weapon that you have here.
We'll have to post, we'll have to share it, you know, maybe for the social media post, we'll say, you know,
That'd be cool. That gun is unique. I saw it at one of the local gun shops. I like to go to Guns and Grounds in Bentonville. They're one of my favorite places to support. The owner is really nice. And they've helped me a lot on my journey too. Because I remember when I first started stopping in there, I could barely rack a slide. I was just super new.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, a couple of years later, we collaborate. We help each other out. We promote each other's businesses. Really nice. Very patient people there. And so anyhow, I had seen this on their rack, you know, every time I go in, and I just, gosh, what is that thing? It's so weird looking, you know? And it was almost like so ugly, it was cute. And
kind of like those, not like the pugs.
Yes. No offense to the pug owners.
I like that. Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? And sadly for my poor husband, he had asked me, you know, hey, this was last year, you know, what do you want for Mother's Day? And I was like, you really want to know? You know, it's like, I love that at PS90.
Oh, man, that's
and, so funny. He's like, funny. Oh, okay. Not quite what I was expecting. But
well, you would think you would expect maybe like a request of a weapon, right? Because especially because of hips and clips.
He does now. Yeah.
So what's next on the list? What do you have your eye on?
Oh gosh. I'd love some sort of AR rifle.
Okay.
I think that's probably my goal for next year, is to get really familiar with that platform and be able to start teaching about that as well. Mm. Right now I'm just super focused on pistols and new students, which I enjoy. I love pistols. In fact, I bought two recently for student guns so that people have enough. If I have, you know, I'll have enough guns for a couple students at a time. And I think it's hard because you just want to buy guns all the time. And so being able to taper that, you know, and taper myself. So yeah, the student guns are plenty fun.
Yeah.
And so I think I need to just pump the brake a little and just.
Okay.
Man, I have this crazy, when it comes to you know, ARs, right? What do we call them? Like assault rifles?
Actually, it's an Armalite rifle.
Okay.
Yeah, assault rifle is an incorrect name for that because it makes it seem like, you
like
know,
a dangerous.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
The whole guns kill people kind of thing.
I see. You know? So what is it again?
Armalites.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I went to Parker's.
This
was like 2 years ago before they switched over to, I think it's like tactical gun range now.
Tactical range. That's where I shoot.
Oh, okay. Yes, cool.
Fantastic new ones.
Where are they located again? They are the one that's
Dixieland and Hudson.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
By the baseball field.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I was thinking of the same location. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been there a couple of times. Yeah.
My brother-in-law was here, so we went over to Parker's. We started just shooting the pistol that I have, a little 9mm.
Oh, nice.
So just me and him, and then a few rows down was another person.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we're loading it up and starting to shoot, and next thing you know, I hear the loudest. Bang, this loud, it felt like a cannon. The guy was at the end, he was on the first row. We were on maybe the second to last row, and there's maybe 6-7 rows. Mm-hmm. And even at that distance, the force I felt, and I had earplugs on both ears, I was like, dude, that guy is shooting a cannon. Mm-hmm. So I go over there, and the guy's shooting an AK.
No way.
And he's like, oh, what's up, guys? And I was like, dude, what are you shooting? He's like, oh, it's my AK. And it was like a short barrel. And he goes, yeah, this is it. And he just, you know, he's like holding it like this. And I was like, dude, that is insane. I have never felt that type of force.
Did you feel like in your chest a little bit? Like kind of like when it's super loud, it goes like, boom.
Yeah. We were a few rows down and just still feel it and hear it. I could not believe he let us shoot around.
He did.
Awesome.
That's so cool.
And I'll tell you, I was scared.
Yeah.
I was scared because I was like, this is going to kick back. It's going to break my front tooth.
Yeah, you're going to knock your teeth out. Yeah.
And I was holding it for like a minute before I shot.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want to, you know, hold the trigger and then it's like shooting everywhere. But it wasn't like that. It's just my mind.
It's
like,
the anticipation.
Correct.
You don't know what to expect. Yeah.
Kind of like going back to what you said earlier, you know, people will get like a super high, like round, like a caliber. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, let's say somebody got like a 44 Magnum for the first gun.
They're
obviously going to be terrified moving forward, right? So it's funny, the anticipation.
Oh, it takes over. It really does. But yeah, I've been at some ranges too before where I don't know what they're shooting over there, but I feel it in my teeth.
Yes.
You know, you're like, wow, that's really something going on over there.
Have either of you seen that video? It's old now. It's a few years old. And it's this gun instructor in an indoor gun range. And the guy has I think it was like a 44 Magnum.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And he's like teaching, he's saying something. He's like, da 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 da. And it just, it goes off. Oh, but he has it aimed to the ceiling. And then the guy goes, was that supposed to happen? Or were you supposed to do that? And I was like, I was supposed to.
I remember that too.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Like,
he started bouncing and everything. He was like, what to do that?
Oh, my gosh. Funny. Not funny, but it is.
The reaction that he gave was
one
of those things where you put your head in your hand and you're just like, oh my gosh,
everyone's there for safety, and the guy just let off around aimed at the ceiling.
I think it's really cool that you tried that AK, because I went into this
with the mindset that I would always say yes to stuff. So if I have an opportunity to try something new, even if it freaks me out a little, I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean I just dive right in. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to have say, okay, show me what all is this anatomy. Mm-hmm. Point out, where's this? Where's this? How do I hold it? Tell me a little bit about it. And just get familiar and comfortable. Right. And then just try it. Because, I mean, why not? It's an opportunity to try something new. So,
yeah, I like that. I remember when I went with my buddies, I don't even know what kind of gun it was. I think it was an AR of some mm-hmm. kind. But they were some pretty big rounds. And yes. So he told me I was just holding and getting ready to shoot. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of standing straight. And then he yeah. tells me, nah, man, you got to lean into it.
Yeah, you do.
So I leaned forward and then I shoot and it went boom and it pushed yeah. my shoulder back. And I was like, my gosh, that yeah. round is crazy.
Have you, either of you heard of a punt gun? Mm-mm. Oh, a punt gun. I learned this like 2 months ago.
Okay,
one of my coworkers is really into guns. We were in the office one day and I told him the same story about this AK, about this, man, such a loud, you know, bang. And
yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a cannon. And he's like, well, speaking of cannons, have you heard of a punt gun? P-U-N-T, I think it is. And if you look it up, it looks like something you'd see on Looney Tunes.
Okay. It's funny because I Googled it as soon as you said that.
Oh my God.
So for our audience who can't see it, right? We're just audio. So there's in this one picture, there's two guys. One is holding the butt of the gun and the trigger, and the other guy has the barrel on his shoulder, and it's super long. It's got to be at least like
go to this photo right here, the boat one.
Like
this one right
6 here? Feet long. Six.
Yeah,
six
foot long. It's got to be like 6 feet at least for people who are.
So he was like, yeah, listening. They used to use it back in the day. We used to hunt for ducks in the pond. They would load it up with all like put whatever in this barrel and shoot it. But if you look it up on YouTube, there's a guy that has channel. But that's all he does, right?
And interesting.
And in this punt gun, it scoots back like 2 feet
when he really?
Shoots. He's shooting at like water barrels or whatever.
Oh, my okay.
gosh. Yeah, I was like, dude, that so is crazy. So the kick
moves you back 2 feet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And actually, sorry, this was still moving 2 feet with it being on a stand.
Jeez.
So he had the punt gun on this like wooden stand built to hold it, and obviously he has like a rope to pull the trigger, and even then it still moves the stand like a
foot or so. Crazy to
like
me.
Of just the force, right? So
I mean you think for duck hunting you use something a little less aggressive.
But you would get, I guess you would go in the pond and get like 40 ducks, right? Like you shoot it and you like, it just shoots, it's like basically like a massive shotgun.
Oh
it just goes,
gosh.
It gets all this, you know.
It clears the whole sky.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then you got to go shooting once for two, 3 months.
That takes care of the season for you. One shot. So, okay, question. Would you try it?
I think I would.
I would try it.
I would too.
I think I would try it if I didn't have to hold it. Like
yeah,
if it was like secure on the ground. Maybe.
Yeah, like on a stand.
Have to pull
a
rope. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do it that way.
Same way.
I mean, it'd be a good experience, no? I mean,
yep. Why not? Say yes once again, you know?
The Looney Tune reference.
That was spot on.
Literally spot on for the audience. As soon as he said that, I had Googled it, and these two guys are just holding it. Literally, the guy is holding on his shoulder, and the other guy's at the butt of the gun.
Too funny.
Perfect way to describe it. So funny.
And the poor person holding the barrel gun shoots.
What
does it do to them?
I mean, I imagine the gun just probably shoots off of his shoulder and goes like lands behind them. But
I mean,
kind of sketchy, no?
I don't know. That his shoulder would be sore,
bruised, maybe.
Yeah, bruised. Yeah,
fractured at the very least. I mean, if you're holding it right there, come on,
that's too funny.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't even know that even existed. So.
No, I didn't either. So you think your friend has one?
He doesn't have one.
Oh.
But he was...
I'm like, let's find one.
We should find one now that we're talking about this.
That's too funny. No, I don't think he has one.
Yeah, he was just talking about
He was just talking about it. Yeah, like you said, if you go on YouTube and put punt gun... There'll be a guy that's doing it with the stand and everything. Look at it.
That sounds interesting.
I mean, he's like, you can use like these mini cannon balls, you know, or mm-hmm. you can put nails or rocks in the barrel, right?
Gosh.
And then it just shoots.
It'll just shoot anything?
Yeah.
So I just Googled it to see if they're still for sale. So it says, while it's still legal to own a punt gun, they haven't been allowed for hunting here in the U.S. since 1918 due to the Migratory Bird Treaty.
Oh.
Yeah, because you also kill all the birds in one.
They probably were almost extinct at that one point. They were using that to hunt. Like, everyone had one?
Totally right.
God, that's too funny.
That's crazy. Yeah, so we've talked a lot about, you know, what you do, Laura, and again, we're really grateful for your time, and thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
As you know, this podcast is also about our area that we love and live in, and our privilege to be here in Northwest Arkansas. So we want to dive into that a little bit. So you've been here for about 3 years. You're coming from Texas. I don't know if you have any family still not living here. What do you tell them about Northwest Arkansas? Like, let's say they're going to come here for the first time. What is your go-to response for those people?
Pretty much they can come any time of year, because I think really with the seasons here, they're all pretty mild. And I think also NWA is super accommodating to anyone, because there's such a variety of things to do here. If you're outdoorsy and naturey, there's that. If you like to shop, there's that. If you like to eat, there's that. There's so many different bike, you know, there's so many different things you can do here that it's pretty easy to entertain when friends and family come to visit.
Very true.
I feel like the biking topic comes up
every episode.
Well, it should, right? Yeah.
Every episode, at least it's mentioned once, right? The biking.
Have you, and Laura as well, have you guys done the trip, the paved trail, the Greenway yet?
I've done a little bit of the Greenway.
No, we need to.
No? Okay. That's definitely something I'll bug you guys on. About a year ago, I had the privilege of doing lane shifts.
Pedal forward?
Similar to it. Lane shifts, active transportation academy. And basically what they do is they'll take this group of people, give them bikes, and they're educating them. They're, you know, there's class sessions and things like that. But the other part of the day, I mean, class sessions like 2 or 3 hours, and then basically the entire rest of the day, you're riding bikes on the greenways. They're taking you from Fayetteville, Springdale, and Bentonville, so you can see the trail, the greenway trails, and you can see how connected they are. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, naturally, prior to this academy, prior to this class, I think, and this is probably what maybe most people think, is that you're riding your bike along the road, right? You're on the sidewalk and you're like, oh, that's kind of, I don't want to do that. It's maybe dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't like it. But until I took that class, I did not know how connected and our Greenway is throughout from Bella Vista all the way to Fayetteville. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful. It is. And it takes you through neighborhoods. It takes you behind the mall, right? Mm-hmm. You can stop at breweries, stop in, oh my gosh, downtown Springdale, things like that. So they're all connected, but I'll have to say they were electric bikes. So you got to enjoy it.
That's
more.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Electric bikes are so fun.
Electric bikes
in the where episode, it's at. The episode we had with Kenny Williams, the
Pedal It Forward.
Director
yep.
for Pedal It Forward. We talked about e-bikes for a little bit, and the way he said it was funny. He said an e-bike is just all smiles, like 2 hours of all smiles, but is what he said.
Yeah. Oh, so, I want to try one of those so bad.
They're so easy. It's because you pedal it once and it's
got a lot of power.
Pedal assist. Pedal assist. It has both, right? Where you got the pedal assist or you have the throttle, like the bird scooters or the scooters you see in the city, where you just don't
and it
do
just
anything.
Takes over.
Yeah, it just takes over. But
yeah, and the cool thing too is you can turn down like how strong it is. Also, so if you want like more, like if you really want to work out like your legs, you can have that option.
Different levels. Yeah.
But if you just want to cruise, put it all the way up, and
that sounds wonderful.
It's on a good day. Yeah, on a really beautiful day, the greenways are.
And what a cool opportunity you had to really try it on.
Yes.
You know, those trails.
Yes.
How long was that, by the way? The trail thing that you did with what was it called? Lane shift? How long was it? Like, is it an all day thing? Or
are you talking about like the classes?
Yeah, the classes.
It was like a 3 day event.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was like a 2 or 3 day event that they do that. So each day we spend at a different city. But so like that first half of the day is class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, giving you data and showing you a bunch of different things, and then the other half of the day you're essentially biking to these locations, grabbing lunch, doing that. Yeah, it's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And actually they just were acquired by Kraft & Toll.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I have to reach out to them and say, hey, what's up? Yeah, they were just acquired. Well, Laura, what is something that you enjoy most about living here?
I enjoy the fact I like the size of it. Ooh. I like that it's kind of small. Coming from where we were south of Dallas, it would take you, 20 minutes to get to the grocery store or 2 hours to get across the Metroplex. Here, I like that everything is very close proximity.
I like that you can get from one side of town to the other pretty quickly and easily, and that you have a lot of options as far as ways to get there, back roads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I like the size. It's just more our speed, I think.
That's a good way to put it.
Right?
More our speed. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah.
And I really do agree with you, because you can go from Fayetteville to Rogers, Bentonville, like in a day, right?
Yeah.
If you really wanted to visit all.
You really could. Area.
Yeah, you really could.
Yeah.
And there's so much to offer, right? Like restaurants, things to go have fun. Like if you have children, there's many options for your children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I like it a lot. And going into that a little bit, right? How do you feel about our community in this area? How do you feel about the people that, that we get to live with on a day-to-day? What are your thoughts on the local community here?
The people here are the friendliest people I've ever met in my whole life. And that's like, I felt like the people in Texas were crazy friendly. And so I remember saying to my husband, when we found out we were moving here, I said, I'm so excited. And I just hope that the people in Arkansas are as friendly as the people here in Texas, because we got really used to just friendly people being around us and being able to strike up a random conversation with a stranger at the store. And because, you know, you travel to other parts of the U.S. and it's not like that.
Oh,
and you maybe try to talk or smile or say hi to someone. And it's like, wow, I'm really sorry I did that. So we're very like friendly social people too. And so we really thrive in, you know, communities that are like-minded.
Right.
So when we came here, I was so surprised that the people here are even friendlier than what we were used to in Texas. And it was really just a beautiful thing. And the instant friendships we've all been able to make and connect with people, it's very seamless, very seamless.
I like to hear that. Yeah. Being in a community like how you're describing, right? People are friendly. You can open the door for somebody. They won't just ignore you and walk in, right?
Exactly.
Thank you. Right? And, and not to say it doesn't happen, right? But it's, I feel like it's very rare.
Yeah.
Like somebody were just going to ignore you.
Yeah.
So it's a refreshing thought to know that our local community is so kind and welcoming to absolutely anyone.
Yeah. And I think people who are moving here appreciate that, because they might not know what to expect either. Right. And they might be coming from areas where people aren't as friendly.
Yeah.
And so when they come here, hopefully they find it very refreshing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something I think our community is very proud of.
Yeah. For Enrique and I, that is a constant trend we hear, even though we've only done a little bit less than like a dozen episodes, to hear that many people have that same experience is really nice. It, you know, especially growing up here, to have that still after all these years is really unique in my opinion. So, so this is always a fun question for me, because I definitely like to try different things. Or what is one of your favorite local spots here, or, you know, from restaurants to coffee shops, breweries, what would that be?
Is it Taco Bell?
No, yes, Enrique. It's Taco Bell.
Oh, let's go.
Although my son would probably agree with you. He's totally obsessed with Baja Blast.
I love Baja Blast.
He does. Yeah. So my husband and I found a really special spot called Petite Bistro in Bentonville.
Okay.
It's like super north on Walton. And it's this little house on the east side of the street. And it's heavily wooded. It's beautiful. It's a very, like, small, cozy environment. Yes. And it's kind of dark and dimly lit. The food is fantastic. The service is fantastic. We feel like it's a special occasion place. Just the setting is just so my husband and I like to go there for date nights around our anniversary. That's a wonderful spot. And then we really like the Cafe Louise over at the little airport.
Yes.
They have such a great menu and really good food and a fun atmosphere to be able. I like to take my son there.
Uh-huh.
We'll have lunch and watch the planes take off and land. And
neat.
That's cool. And then, of course, I know this has been mentioned before, but Wright's Barbecue. You know, you just
I know Wright's. I had it for the first time a couple weeks ago.
And I was like, good, he finally tried it. I was like, I didn't even know you yet. I was like, oh, good, Enrique tried Wright's.
It was
so
good.
What?
Yeah,
we got to get him on something else. What's another spot?
Well, I mean, I kind of like the you were talking about Petite
Yeah.
Still about
yeah. Take your fiance there.
I'm about to take
That'll
her.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I Googled them real quick. And okay. They got good reviews. They got almost 300 Google reviews, and their star rating is at 4.6.
Yep.
In my book, that's pretty darn good, to be honest.
Yeah. And it's it says it's a refined French and Mediterranean-inspired flair.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And it's in a converted historic home.
Yeah.
Ooh,
very cool.
So, like, even if you're kind of a picky eater, you'll still find something on there that you like, you know?
I like that because, at least for my brother, right? That guy only likes to eat plain burgers.
Right. So if it says, like, it's kind of fancy, French, Mediterranean, they still, like, all the food is, like, you'll still like it.
I see they have crème brûlée, which is already a win.
Oh, nice.
Okay, there you go.
My favorite dessert, if the odd, you know, just to throw it out there, is a crème brûlée. I can have endless crème brûlée.
Nice.
I don't think I've tried that before, so
it's okay.
Maybe when you go, you'll have to try it.
When I go with my lady,
It's, once you have it.
Have you ever tried to make it yourself?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I feel like by doing that, then I'm terrible and I'll make it like every weekend and then I'll hate it. Okay. Like I'll be like, oh man, I can just.
Takes the magic away.
Correct. So and another example, I remember, I think for one of my birthdays a long time ago, my wife, she's like, oh, like, you know, are you interested to drive, you know, that you can get the packages like when in like Vegas or something like that, where you can like drive a Ferrari for like around a track or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do.
So I was like, you know what? I really would like to, but then I'd probably hate getting in my car after that, my regular car. So I don't want to do that until I can, like, I'll drive it for 30 minutes.
Would you think about having a daily one of those cars? Having a daily supercar?
Sure, sure, sure.
Gas, the maintenance, the insurance.
Yeah.
That would be
so ridiculous. I'd be like, give me a, yes, if I drive it for a bit, you know, yeah, it's fun. But then I'd be like, dude, what? I got to go back to my, I don't know.
Yeah.
At the time, I was driving like a Honda. So my little Civic or whatever.
Hey, man, don't be dogging on some Civic.
It's not.
I like those Honda Civics.
I do like Honda Civic. And you're not going to say, you know, some people would be like, oh, yeah. Ferrari versus Honda. Come on. It's not the same thing, but you know.
I'm a little biased towards my Japanese manufacturing vehicles. So I think I would still pick the Honda Civic. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, for what's it called? For where I'm at in life? Yeah. Give me the Honda Civic, please.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I could not, even if I wanted to, get a Ferrari.
Making that for my husband on his 40th birthday while we're living in Texas. I found a track that rents out Lamborghinis and Ferraris, and you get to go around it with the little guy next to you in the passenger seat, right? And I surprised him. I didn't tell him.
That's neat.
So we drove out there, and he's like, where are we going? Because it's kind of off in the middle of nowhere where they had this track. And once we got there, he couldn't believe it.
That's cool.
Yeah, he had so much fun. So you might want to do it. You'll probably be okay after.
I mean, if I had something like that to get back into.
Oh, man. Can we say what car is in out there? Is that
fine with you?
Okay, so yeah, I was a little bit like 2-3 minutes late this morning. But I pulled up and sitting outside of where we're recording, there's a wide body Challenger. And I'm like 392. I'm like, whoa, Laura, you're driving this? Okay.
Yeah, and it's red. And red with some really nice rims. And I think it's I can't tell the hood. Was it a 392?
I think it was.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, I just saw the white body. I was like, man, okay, Laura. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Definitely one of my happy places.
Yeah, it's a nice car.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Do like it.
Yeah, very nice.
Thanks, guys.
So, man, Laura, it has been a pleasure to have you here, and we're kind of wrapping up the episode. What we still need to do is, as if you've already heard some of our episodes, the question, right? The question that's left by our previous guest.
Yeah. You have to answer one, don't
you? Do.
Yeah, you do.
And you got to give one.
All right, I have a good one.
Okay. Oh, cool. I like it. So, all right. So the question that was left by Martin at the principal at Oakdale Middle School, he says, he asked, how do you want to be remembered by your community?
Oh, okay.
We'll give you a little time to
think. Yeah, well, I think that kind of falls into the hips and clips category. It'd be an honor to be remembered as someone who was involved and who tried to really strengthen and build the people within the community and to help and to make it available and, you know, support and friendship and strengthen.
I like it.
Mm,
I like it. Supporting that community, yeah. Making people know that yeah. you can defend yourself and that you absolutely. Can really be a strong, empowered woman. I like
it. Yeah. I like it. Now it's your turn to leave the question for the next guest. Yeah.
Okay. So I thought what would be fun is if you could have any type of strength or superpower, what would it be like? Would you want to be able to fly or be invisible or be able to teleport or whatever?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm curious to know what people are going to say to that. I'm interested.
Yeah. Well, what would you do?
Oh, you go more.
What would I do? What would be my superpower? Uh-huh. Man, my superpower would be, I think, to just have like unlimited knowledge on everything.
Oh, I like that.
Then at that point, I have all the knowledge on everything, right?
Yes.
Investing and people and in business. Mm-hmm. And then I think it would catapult you to a whole different level, right? That'd be my power if I could pick it.
That's a good one.
I might go with flying.
Me too.
Flying?
I might go with flying. Mm-hmm. There's many great superpowers, but I feel like flying for me would be very, freeing.
Freeing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I wish now I could be on a motorcycle, but I just don't. But I wish I could be. So mm-hmm. I think flying would kind of fulfill that desire. Yeah.
Like, how cool would it be to just jump and then just like catch some air and go,
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
I would love that.
Just don't have your mouth open, all the bugs.
Yeah. You got to wear like protective goggles. Eyewear. Yeah. Because you're going to get bugs all over your face.
Yeah.
But wow. Well, actually, I'm going to add this just because we're on that topic. Mm-hmm. If what superhero would you be? I'm just curious now. And Laura, actually, what was, you said flying too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, who flies Supergirl, Wonder Woman?
Okay.
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 Yeah.
Enrique?
Man, I'm going to be Spider-Man. Come on, man. That's a good I'm going to be Spider-Man. I grew up as a kid loving Spider-Man.
That's pretty good.
But it's funny. I have a story. My parents, one time they went into their bedroom and they had a really tall dresser, like super tall. Maybe I was 3 or 4 at the time, so a lot taller than me. And they said they don't know how I managed to get up there, but I was sitting up there acting like Spider-Man, pretending to shoot webs. So I don't know how I managed to do that, but...
Oh, that's funny.
I think I'd be Spider-Man.
Nice. Yeah. I'm going to go with The Flash.
The Flash?
Oh, hey, that's a good one, too.
Nice.
The Flash. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Go all your showings, you'll never be late.
Even now, I'm not late. I'm so punctual, man, on time. I am.
Nice, that's impressive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I as best as I can.
Yes,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in at another episode with us. Laura, it has been a pleasure to spend time with you. For you giving us your time here is always an honor. Enrique, even for you as well, thank you for always giving me your time as well, and for the audience for listening. And as well, when we aren't recording podcasts, guys, we're out here helping our clients, trying to find the next family and create those relationships with our community. Again, if you guys ever need any real estate needs, Enrique and I are here to help you guys. If you need any self-defense, any gun training, things like this, I think Laura's your girl, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... but everyone, take care, and we will catch up with you guys soon. Thank you so much.